starting two lines from the bottom on Bedam and Bet. Gemara says, Michte, Tarvayu Stam Eitnan. We have two brightot, and the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol says, well, Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah, but the Chachamim disagree. And they say, Yochid Shasah Barat Beitin is Chayav. So the Gemara brought two brightot and says, see, you see that Rabbi Yehuda says this, and Chachamim say this. Gemara says that both brightot are Stam. How do you know who the author of either brighta is? You bring it down a brighta that says one thing, you bring it down a brighta that says another thing, but how do you assign the authorship of the brighta to Rabbi Yehuda or to the Rabbana? So you might come out to Rabbi Yehuda. How do you know the first brighta we bought is authored by Rabbi Yehuda? But right, the Rabbana, Ema Ipcha. Let's say just the opposite. So when I says, no, Manch might lay the Dorish Mi'ute, Ki Hai Gavno. Who learns out Mi'utim in such a manner? Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, we have another brayta. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zot Torat Ha'olah, Hi. Harelu Shlosha Mi'utim. That is three Mi'utim, as Rashi explains over here, and the Rach, and others explain that there are three Mi'utim based on the Gemara, where this is from in Nida. That is, one is Chad Prat Nishchata B'Layla. One comes to exclude it to Olah that's brought at night. Chad prat nishpach dama, if the dam is spilled, then it's not kasher. V'chad prat litziat dama chutz deklaim, if the dam was taken outside the area where it's allowed to be brought. Shema'ot talgavim mizbech, you read, that if they bring it to the mizbech doesn't, or the tzitz is not meratzeh, and the dam has to come down, and it doesn't work for the korban. But what you see is that he took zot torah ta'olahi, then he makes them into three mi'utim, which is very similar to the brayta that we brought before, the Tanya. Im nefesh achat techta bishkaga basota, harelu gilu mi'utim. Right, so same lashon, same style of limud. So the Gemara says, that's how we know that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of that first brayta. And Rabbi Yehuda is the author of that brayta, then he's obviously not the author of the other position, and we'll assign the other position to the chachamim. Now, what's interesting here, and Rashi mentions it, is what happened to the concept of ein miut achar miut al rabot? How do you have here? If you have shlosha miutim, he says, well, the Yerushalmi says that you only say ein miut achar miut al rabot, right? But two bet miutim. You have two miutim. Once you have three miutim, that's already bzech azeh. You already know that it's not. It's a list of miutim. It's not ein miut achar miut al rabot. That limud only comes if you have two. Once you have multiple miutim, it's clear that that's not the limud, and we say that each one of them is a separate miut, as you see here in the two brayta that we brought with Rabbi Yehuda. V'ibayitema, adayin ani omer, lo matzi muklulak Rabbi Yehuda. I still think, maybe not, that you can't set up like Rabbi Yehuda, the Tani. Rov kahal shechatu, beitin mevin ayideyem par. Because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, which we're going to see in a Mishnah coming up, Vi Rabbi Yehuda, Hamar Tzibuhu Demaiti, Beit Din Lo. So there is a machlokes about who is responsible to bring the karbanot when it comes to a Par Elam Dover Shel Tzibur. Is it that the Tzibur brings a korban, Beit Din brings a korban, or both bring a korban? What's the obligation? Who's the obligation on? So Rabbi Yehuda says that the Tzibur hu demaiti, the Tzibur brings a korban, Beit Din lo, but Beit Din does not bring a korban. So over here in the Braita, it suggests that Beit Din would bring, where Rabbi Yehuda cannot be the author of such a position. Rabbi Yehuda can only be the author of a position where it's the Gahal that's bringing it, not the Beit Din. So the fact it says, "Mukalak Rabbi Yehuda, Tani Rov Kahal Shechatu Beitim Mevin Ayedem Par." Vi Rabbi Yehuda, Hamar Tzibuhu Demaiti Beitim Lo. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no such thing as Beitim Mevin Ayedem Par. Beitim never brings a par, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So that would be Mafkir, or show us that the authorship of the second brayta cannot be Rabbi Yehuda, and that's how we know it's the Chachamim. Tznan, we have a Mishnah coming up, and hey, the Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shiva Shvatim Shechatu Mevin Zayin Parim. Each Shevet brings its own par, but Beit Din doesn't bring a single par for all of Klal Yisrael. So we have the two sides. The first one is, the first side is a positive statement, that the authorship is Rabbi Yehuda because of the style of Limud. So that's the first Breita. The second proof is that, the fact is that the second Breita cannot be Rabbi Yehuda, so it must be the Chachamim, because Rabbi Yehuda cannot author a position where it says that Beit Din is Mevi a korban, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Din never brings a korban. Right, so that concludes Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that says that the author of our Mishnah, or the authorship of our Mishnah, is Rabbi Yehuda, who is a Yechida, and where the Chachamim say otherwise. Now we have another statement. Ranachan Amar Shmuel. Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. They are authorship of our missions, Rabbi Meir. Aba chamimar mim yachid shasab orat beitin chayav. So as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda being the author of our Mishnah, he says Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah, but again the Chachamim disagree. My Rabbi Meir, my Rabbanon. Where is Rabbi Meir? Where is the Rabbanon that you're speaking about? The Tanya, Ho Ruva Su, Rabbi Meir Poter. If they give Ho Ra'ah, and then the people did based on that Ho Ra'ah, Rabbi Meir says they're Potur. Chachamim Chayvim. The Chachamim say you're Chayav. Manasu. Who did over here? Ilema Beitin. If it's Beit Din that did it, there was Horat Beis Din, and Beis Din then acted on that Hora, then my time with the Rabbanon, the Mechayve. Why are the Rabbanon being Mechayve here? Vatanya, Yochol Horu Beit Din, Vasu Beit Din, Yochoye Chayavin, Tamalomar Akahao, Vasu, Maseh Talui Bekao, Vhorat Luya Beit Din. The Maaseh, that's Mechayve over here, I see the Maaseh of the Kahal, not the Maaseh of Beit Din, but the Hora, the Psak Halacha has to come from Beit Din. So over here, if you have the Psak and Beit Din, and they're doing the Maaseh, then there's no reason the Chamim should say you're Chayav. So that cannot be the explanation of this Braita. Ella, Horu Beit Din, Vasu Rova Kaal. Must be that Beit Din gave a Psak, and the Rova Kaal did it. So then, my time is Rabbi Meir de Poter. There's no reason to then be Poter. Why would Rabbi Meir have any legs to stand on to say Potur? If Beit Din gave the Horah, they gave the Psak Alocha, and the Rova Kaal then did it. Ella, what's the case? Horu Beit Din, Vasu Miuta Kaal. The Beit Din gave a psak halacha, and then a miut, a minority of the nation, based on that psak halacha, acted. Ubahaka miflike. This is exactly the machloket. Ma sava yochid sheasava rat Beit Din patur. That's Rabbi Meir. Yochid, that is talui al Beit Din, is patur. Even though they never reach a significant number, I mean they never reach majority, nevertheless, he's patur. Umar sava yochid sheasava rat Beit Din chayab. Until they reach the point of rova kahal, the yochid remains chayab. And therefore, Rabbi Meir will be the author of our Mishnah. Authorship of our Mishnah is determined by Zach Klal. The Zach Klal in our Mishnah is a Tole Be'atzmo Chayav, a Tole Be'Beit Din Patur, irrespective of whether you reach a rove or not. That's Rabbi Meir. The Chamim will say, no, you need to have a rove to be Patur. Cannot be the authors of our Mishnah. They will disagree with our Mishnah. Okay. Amar Papa, the Kuli Amma, Yachid Shasabarat Beit Din Patur. Ela Beit Din Mashlim, the Rob Tzibur Kamiflegei. The Machloket in that Braita is not about whether a Yachid Asya Barat Beit Din is Patur or not when you don't have a majority. Ela, it's a question when Beit Din makes up or reaches, helps them reach the Rob Tzibur. In that the Kahal was maybe say at 49 versus 51, and then when Beit Din added it, it made it into much 51-49. So can Beit Din be a part of the count to reach the rov? Mar sabar Beit Din mashlim the rov tzibur. Mar sabar ein Beit Din mashlim the rov tzibur. Vi bayitaymo. And some say horu Beit Din vasu rubo shel kahal. That Beit Din gave the psak and the rov kahal did. Uman chachamim. Who are the chachamim who argue on Rabbi Meir over there? It's Rabbi Shimoni. These are all possibilities in the explanation of the machloket and the braita between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. We had one possibility that they're arguing about where it's a psak ve'horat beizdin and miut akal. That was the first. Rav Papa then rejected it and says, no, everybody agrees in that case that you're patur. The machloket here is about beit din mashlim litzibur or not. Does beit din mashlim? The chamim will say yes and you're chayav. Rabbi Meir will say no and they are patur. They don't bring a korban. Then the Gemara says another possibility, vi baitemo is no, this is what their machloket is about. Machloket is, horu Beit Din asu rovo shokal. It's a normal case. Psak Beit Din, rovo kal does it. Uman chachamim. Then why are the chachamim mechayev in this case? Rabbi Shimoni, damar tzibur maiti, u Beit Din maiti. That the halacha that they're arguing about is, who brings the korban over here? Is the tzibur brings, and the Beit Din brings, or is it just one korban that is brought for the Beit Din? Rabbi Meir says, patur, because the court is already bringing it. Beit Din is already bringing a korban. The tzibur is not required to bring a korban. So over here, when we say chayav and patur, we're talking about the tzibur. With regards to Beit Din, everybody agrees they have to bring a korban. The chachamim, who are Rabbi Shimon, say, not only does Beit Din bring it, but also the tzibur. Rabbi Meir says, patur. Patur is the tzibur's patur, because the Beit Din is bringing the korban already. Vi Beit Ema, shevet sh'asa b'orah Beit Dino. Talking about a single shevet that followed the psak of their Beit Din. Uman chachamim, Rabbi Yehudi, and who are the chachamim here? It's Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya. Shevet she'asa be'orat Beit Dino, oto shevet chayav. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position, that you are chayav in that case. Rabbi Meir will say patur, because you need either horat beit din agadol, or you need rov shvatim, either way. But a single shevet does not qualify to be either a kahal or its beit din doesn't qualify to be the psak halacha. Yehuda disagrees and says that every shevet is called a kahal, which we'll see the limud later on. V'ibay teima, v'gon shechatu shisha v'en rubo shel kahal, u'shiva v'pishe in rubo shel kahal. You have two ways to count the rov here. Do we count the rov based on the number of shvatim, which means seven shvatim, or do you count the rov based on the populace, the count of the people? So here you have a case where it's either or. I mean that chatu shisha, only six shvatim were choteh, but they are rubo shel kahal. They are in the rov of the numbers, or those of the people, the populace. Or shiva, or he had seven, which are the rov shvatim, avishin rubo shel kahal. Umat nitan mani, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hi. And that will be the authored by Rabbi Shimon Elazar, the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Elazar omer mishmo, chatu shisha, vehein rubo shel kahal, or shiva, avishin rubo shel kahal, chayavim. So that will make Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar will be the authorship of the Chachamim's position in this machloket, and he will say chayav, and the Rabbi Meir will say patur, and their machlokas is about this issue, where you don't have, you either have rov hakahal without rov shvatim, or you have rov shvatim without rov hakahal. Omar Ravasi, ubehora'a halach achar rov yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. So this is a very important statement of Ravasi, and has implications l'alacha, which is when it comes to going after the rov, rov is only determined by those that live in Eretz Yisrael. Jews in Chutz La'aretz have no say in halachic matters that deal with Eretz Yisrael, and they also don't count towards things that require a rov in terms of halacha. Shneimar, v'yash Shlomo beit ayit achag v'chol Yisrael imo kahal gadol milavo chamat ad nachal mitzrayim lifnei Hashem Elokeinu shivat yamim v'shivat yamim arba'asar yom. So this is the dedication of the Mikdash. It says that the people came up and Shlomo made a huge chag, 7 days and 7 days long, 14 days, that spanned into Sukkot. The second set of 7 days were Sukkot. The first 7 days prior to Sukkot, right, the Gemara discusses the fact that they did not have Yom Kippur that year, that they had Shiva Yomim of a chag right through Yom Kippur. So the Gemara wants to say, Michtek, Tiv, V'chol Yisrael Imo, Kal Gadol, Levo Chamat, Anachal Mitzrayim, Lomali. It says, Chol Yisrael Imo, Kal Gadol, meaning that he had all of Klal Yisrael there. Then it says, "Levo Chamat Anachal Mitzrayim Lomali." What do I need? If you have Klal Yisrael, what do you need to tell me from "Levo Chamat Anachal Mitzrayim"? That is where Klal Yisrael lives. They live "Levo Chamat Anachal Mitzrayim." So why do I need you to tell me that? Shma mina, hani do ikrei kahal. Those are who are called the kahal. Hanach lo ikrei kahal. But anybody outside of those borders are not called the kahal. That means Klal Yisrael imo kahal gadol. What's the definition of a kahal gadol? "Levo Chamat Anachal Mitzrayim." So the definition of a kahal gadol is in those boundaries, those that are found inside of Eretz Yisrael. So those are the determinants, again, when it comes to halachic matters and when it comes to the decisions regarding Eretz Yisrael, only those people in Eretz Yisrael have a say about these matters, not people outside of Eretz Yisrael. They're not classified as a kahal. Now the Gemara moves on to a new topic, Pshita. Mirubim vinit ma'atu hainu plukta de Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. Mi'utim vinit rabu mai. But if they were less and expanded mai. So this is a question that revolves the I will start with what the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan are. Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan are arguing about an instance where either a nasi or a kohen gadol who brings a special korban chatat, when it comes to the shogeg of a kohen gadol or the shogeg of a nasi, they have a separate korban, right, a sa'ir, not the normal korban chatat that's brought by an individual, which is a sira or a kisba. Right, they have a choice between which one they bring. But when it comes to the Kohen Gadol and the Nasi, they have their own unique parsha of Chatat that they bring. Now, there's a machlokas about the instance where they sinned while they were Hedjotot, and then they only brought their Karbonot Achrei Shenitmanu, after they elevated to the position that they're in now. So they sinned while they were regular Hedjotot, while they're lay people. Then they were elevated or appointed to be the Nasi, or the Kohen Gadol, or Kohen Mashiach, and then they brought the Korban Chatat. Which do they bring? Do they bring it based on when they did the sin? Or do they bring it based on when they bring the Korban? Now, when they bring the Korban is when Hodah Lo, once they know about it. So they sinned while they were lay people, but the hoda'ah, the knowledge of the sin, only happened when they were already elevated or appointed to their new positions. So that is subject to a machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Do we follow the Zman Achet, or do we follow the Zman Noda'ah? What is it that determines? Is it the Hoda'ah that determines, or is it the Chet that determines over here? So Rabbi Shimon says that we go after Hoda'ah, so therefore the par for the Kohen Gadol and the Seir for the Nasi, those are all done after the Hoda'ah. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, it goes after the Zman Achet. So now we have the same thing over here. Our question, our sugyo, is the same question. We have a case where when the Beis Din gave the psak halacha, so they had, at that point in time, they were the mirubim. They were the rov. At the time they gave the psak halacha and they sinned, those that sinned were the rov. But then, before they bring the korban, once they realize, all of a sudden, that they did something wrong, they're about to bring the korban, at that point in time, nitzma'atu. They were no longer the rov. Meaning that people had passed away. From those that had sinned, people passed away, and now they were no longer the rov. That, the Gemara says, Hainu Plukta Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon. That is clearly a machlokes Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanon, because it's the exact same type of case. We have a chiyuv, you have an absolute chiyuv, and then it changed. Nitma'atu, it went away. Similar to what happens by the case of Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, where we have a sin, which is definitely mechayev, and the only question is, does the hoda'ah make any difference over here? Does the hoda'ah make a difference? Does the hoda'ah change what you were chayav to bring? And also in our case, does the hoda'ah change the fact that maybe you shouldn't bring a par? The question is, mi'utim v'nitrabu. In the case where you, they were in the minority. When they sinned, they were the minority. But at the time of the hoda'ah, they were the majority. So that case is a question. Now, this case, why it's a question is because it's not exactly like machlokas the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Because here, there was no chiyuv. At the Zman Achet, there was no chiyuv because they were the miut. The chiyuv only is generated at the time, if you say the hoda'ah matters, when they were nitrabu at the time of the hoda'ah. So it's not exactly the same case. So here they want to know my, what's the locha? Mi plige Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon. Do they argue in this case? Rabbi Shimon dazel bater yidia. Rabbi Shimon who believes that the yidia is koveya michayev. Also over here will be michayev because at the time of the yidia they're the rov. Rabbanon dazel bater chatat. Rabbanon will go after the time that the sin was done, patur. Hello. Or maybe not. Maybe it should be the opposite. Or not the opposite, but maybe they should all agree in one position over here. So my, what's the din? V'tisbro, I'll explain. Imor d'shmait le'ei Rabbi Shimon do'ozo af batar yediya. Rabbi Shimon goes even after the yediya. Heicha d'havi yediya v'chata'a b'chiyuv. That's only when both of them generated a chiyuv. We're not sure what chiyuv or what the level of the chiyuv is, then the yediya will make a difference. Yediya d'lo chata'a mishmait le'ei. If you have a yediya without a chait, why would Rabbi Shimon be mechayev? Because then, if that's the case, then he should bring like now. Now, the Rabbi Shimon chatav yediyah boy. Shimon requires both yediyah and the chait to be b'mizman achiyuv. Meaning that Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah on Yud Amud Aleph says that they're actually pturim. When it comes to the yediyah of the Kohen Gadol or of the Nasi, they're actually patur because the yediyah affects. Now, if you really believed that the idea was enough to be mechayev, then like the Gehashto, they should have been a korban, like a Kohen Gadol or a Nasi. Why is Rabbi Shimon saying patur? It must mean that Rabbi Shimon says that it's not sufficient or not enough to have yediyah. You need the chait plus the yediyah. The yediyah alone can't be enough. Yediyah by itself is not sufficient. You need yediyah with a chait. Without a chait, why does yediyah make a difference? So he says the mistavra that everybody agrees over here, then mu'atim v'nitrabu, the divrei akol are patur. Because when they were choteh, it was an azman patur. And therefore the yediyah can't change the fact that the chait was done or transpired at a time when they were patur. Just because they had hoda'ah, bizman achiyuv, doesn't change the fact that there was no chait bizman achiyuv. Now the Gemara moves on. Yibaylehu. Horu beitin chilev mutar. Basa vasu miyut akal v'chazru beitin bayan. V'horu basa. So Beis Din went, they had psak halacha about chelev, it's mutar. Vasu miut hakal. Then miut hakal acted upon it. Then v'chazru, Beit Din ben, v'horu vasu miut acher. And then they went ahead and gave a psak again, v'horu vasu. That they, it was another hora. Right. So they were matir chelev, then they retracted it, and then they were paskani again that it was mutar. In each one of the two instances where they were posek, a miut hakal did or acted on their psak halacha. Mao. Maybe because these are totally two different idiot, meaning that the psak halacha halachot were independent, it wasn't a single psak halacha, then they would not be mitzdareif. Or since both of them are the same psak and the same mistaken psak, maybe they can be mitzdareif. So let's go, we're going to flow with it. If we say that both of them are chelev, therefore they should be mitzdareif, we'll ask this question. Miut b'chelev shal gabi akeba, or miut b'chelev shal gabi dakin. Talking about different types of chelev that we're talking about here. Mau, in that case, hocha vada given the trei kroy kaate lo mitzdarif. Since the isur of chelev in these instances is derived from different psukim, therefore they are separate averot and they cannot be mitzdarif. Oh, Dilma gave me the idi chelev lo mitzdarif. In the end, they're both chelev. In the end, it's the same. It's the same punishment, the same everything. It's just that the derivation of what chelev we're talking about comes from different psukim. But they're still both classified as chelev. So therefore they should be mitzdareif. And then where again goes, let's flow. They're all one chelev, so therefore they will be mitzdareif. Miut b'chelev u'miut b'dam mahu. What happens if you have a minority who went after the psak beit din when it came to chelev, a minority went after a psak beit din when it came to dam? The trei surin in who they're two separate isurim. Therefore, given the isurim shaved lo mitzdarif, and their isurim are not the same, they should be not mitzdarif. Ol dilma kevan de karbon shaved mitzdarif. Since they have the same punishment, maybe they should be mitzdarif. Dam and chelev are both a chiyuv karet that ends up in a karbon chatat if they are violated b'shogeg. I mean, they have the same exact punishment. They're just different manifestations of the punishment of karet and chatat. So therefore, they're classified in the same category of chataim. I mean, now here we're looking at Beit Din. I think that the way you have to look at this is that we're talking about Beit Din or Beit Din HaGadol here. And Beit Din HaGadol gives psak in different categories. So since Beit Din made a mistake, a type or a category of Aveira, therefore we're going to classify it as a single category that they failed in, and that will classify them as a Rovakal. Or we say, no, Dam and Chelev are independent Isurim, they're two Shemot Isurim, and therefore they should not be Mitzdareif. And where it goes, let's flow. Vimtim Tzor Kebe de Korbanan Shaveh Mitzdareif. Since they're in that same category, they should be Mitzdareif. Miut b'chelev u'miut b'vodat kochavim, au! What happens if you have a minority who did Avodah Zarah, and a miut that did Chelev al pi Beit Din? Hocha v'adayim Isurim Shaveh, v'ein Korbanan Shaveh. Here, both the Isur is different. The Isur of Avodah Zarah and the Isur of Chelev is obviously different. And also the punishment, the Korban is different. The Korban Chatat, a normal Korban Chatat, is Osir al Kizba, which is either for Chelev and Dam would both have that. You have a choice. For Chatat v'yachid, you would bring a Kizba, or you bring a Sira. On the other hand, when it comes to the Korban of Avodah Zarah, Korban of Avodah Zarah, you only have one choice. You have to bring a Sira. You don't want to get the choice between a Sira and a Kizba for a Yachid who brings a Korban for a Avodah Zarah. That's it. A Sira, but no Kizba. So therefore, their Korbanot are not the same. So maybe they shouldn't be Mitzdareif. Oh, Dilma. Kevan de Idividi Karetu Mitzdareif. Well, okay, Eno Hanami, that the Korban is not the same, but when it comes to the Mezid aspect of them, Baruch Chagamim is Karet, and so is the punishment for Chelev. So maybe they should Mitzdareif. Teku. Well, leaves that as a teku. And teku, it seems to be the teku probably goes back on the whole series here. Is that usually when we have Yom Timsal Omar, it seems like Gemara has reached some sort of conclusion. Although here, I'm not sure, it doesn't feel like the Gemara has concluded anything. When they use the teku, it seems like it goes back on the whole series that we just read. All right, now the Gemara says, Iba Elohu, Horu Beitin Shechelev Mutar, Vasumiot Akal, Umeit Oto Beitin. Give Psak Alocha, that Chelev is Mutar, a Miot Akal acted upon their Psak. Then that Beit Din passes away. So, Vamad Beit Din Acher, a new Beit Din is appointed. And then they gave the same psak halacha, and then a miut did according to that second Beit Din. If we're talking about that, according to the mandamar that says who brings the paralam davishot tzibor is the Beit Din, then there's nothing to talk about over here. The Beit Din's not there anymore. They died. So you can't be mitzdarif, the two bati dinim, because one of them is not there. Elakiti bailach, alibin the mandamar tzibor mighty. We have to ask according to one who, that the tzibor is the one who brings the karban, or paralam davar shul tzibor. My, Tzibur hakoi. The tzibur is the same tzibur. The tzibur was always around and nothing's changed. Or Dilma yudia dahu beitin dahorubinin. We need the realization of the mistake ayidei beitin. Now it's true that the second beitin will have that realization, but the first beitin will never have that realization because they're all niftar. They were all passed away. They're no longer around. So they can never have a yidia that would cause them to be mitzteref. Teku. Where leaves this as a teku as well. I'm Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan makes an interesting statement here. He says, "Meyosh yashvu lo'orot." If you have 100 who sat down to give a psak halacha, ein chayavin eshiru kulan. There's no chiyuv until all of them give psak halacha. So this is interesting. Even though Beit Din HaGadol is comprised or sufficiently comprised of 71, nevertheless, if there are 100 present, all 100 have to acquiesce in order for this to be a psak of Beit Din. Shneimar vim kol adat Yisrael yishgu. So what does he say? He says, ad sheyishgu kulam, until all of them make a mistake. What does that mean? Ad she tifshot hora'ah b'chol adat Yisrael. Until the hora'ah spreads amongst all of Israel. Not all of Israel, meaning Klal Yisrael, but rather all of those that are present for the hora'ah, all those that are present for the psak halacha, they all must agree. It has to be a unanimous decision in order for this to be qualified for par helam dover shel tzibur. That makes sense. I think what he just said, Rabbi Yonatan, makes a lot of sense. Because throughout Shas, we know all throughout the Torah that Rubo Kikulo, you don't need the absolute unanimity of a court. You just need the robe in order to psak halacha. So why over here he doesn't say kol adat Yisrael? That they would have to get to a unanimous decision. The addition of kol adat Yisrael comes to teach you that even though Rubo Kikulo over here, we demand the kulo because of that additional extraneous lashon of kol adat Yisrael. And you just told me at that show we would have known that the rov dictates. The fact that you're a kol now tells me there has to be more than rov. It's not. Horu beitin v'yadachad mehen shita'u. O tamid v'ra uilo ra v'lach v'sa'al pihem. Ben sh'asu v'asayimem. Ben sh'asu v'asachareyem. Ben sh'lo asu v'asah harizeh chayam. Mipnei sh'lo ta'ala b'beitin. Right, that's our Mishnah. That says that if someone knows better than the Beit Din, I mean, they knew that the Beit Din made a mistake, and then they go sin based on that hora'ah of the Beit Din, they're chayav, because they weren't acting on the premise, or on the smach, relying on that psak of Beit Din, they were doing it on their own volition. So, hayu de chayav, ha'acher patur. But the indications from here are that he is chayav. But another individual who was toloy al Beit Din would be patur. That indicates you have here a Beit Din where one person knew the truth. Either Talmid Shel Yoshev Vein Barbo or somebody objected to their psak. Nevertheless, we still see that it works and the other individuals are patur. Vamai, halo nigma hora. Over here you don't have a unanimous conclusion of the hora. It says, "Alkamai skinan kagon shihirkin." True, he knew better, but when they were going around, he nodded his head. He nodded his head, so they thought he was included. They thought that was a unanimous decision. Now, he in his mind thought otherwise, but when it came to the psak, he shook his head, yes, to say that he was a part of the psak halacha. So the whole ra'ah was done, a unanimous decision. But intellectually, he knew that that wasn't the case. So when it comes to the tliyah, we say it's not really totally al beit din. Etashma, horu beit din. And then he says, "You are mistaken." If he spoke up and says, "You're mistaken," but if he was silent, he didn't say anything, then it would be a completion of the Hora'ah, and they would work. They would have to, the Beit Mechayav, or the people would be Turim if they were relied on the Beit. V'amai, halohoru kulan. Not everybody agreed to the psak. He was silent, but that's not a psak halacha. Here we don't say shtika koda. We're asking for hora'ah. We're asking for psak halacha. So I'm ready. Achinami could go into your kibusho. And Achinami was silent, but he did shake his head up and down, which showed his acquiescence in the psak. Meitiv v'misharsha. Samchu rabuteinu al divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel v'adivrei Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Tzadok shayu omrim ein guzrim gezera letzibur elam kein rov tzibur yacholim lamod ba. So we saw this Mishnah that we only rely on a gzeira or in gozrim tzibur. It only takes effect if rov tzibur yecholim lamod ba. Both from the perspective of instituting a gzeira, we don't institute a gzeira elim kein the rov tzibur. And even if they do institute it, if the rov tzibur doesn't take this, it doesn't hold by the gzeira, it doesn't accept the gzeira, then it's also batel. But what do you see? Where do they learn this from? From Avar Abadar Barava Micro. What's the pasuk that they learned this out from? We saw this in Avodah Zarah, B'meirah, Tamnerim, Votiatem Kovim, Agoy Kulo. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chastising B'nai Yisrael. You are going to be cursed because you are cheating me. You are stealing from me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. The whole nation is stealing from me. The whole nation over there, the Gemara asks, what is it? What they steal? How can you steal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They're already talking about Matnot Aniyim. They weren't giving the Matnot Aniyim, so they were stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Over there it says a goy kulo, verubo kikulo. The pasuk they bring to prove that if the gzera cannot be held, or they can't, you can't institute a gzera, elim king rov at zibor gominba, they bring a pasuk that says a goy kulo. So even though the pasuk says goy kulo, they still say it means rov. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Even though it says kol adat Yisrael, still should mean rov. Ruba kakula dami. So when it says tuyufta de Rabbi Yonatan, tuyufta, this is a very strong question against Rabbi Yonatan. Because we have another drasha that relies on a pasuk that says kol or kulo, and nevertheless we still say rov is sufficient. Velamai kol adat. So then what are you going to do with the word kol? To kamar rachman, achi kamar, I kakulam aviora, ilo lo aviahura. That this is a requirement that all the Beitin HaGadol be present. Not that they have a unanimous psak. They don't need unanimity in the psak. They need to know that all 71 of the Beit, the people of the Beit Din, or the judges of the Beit Din, Shoftim, are present for this psak halacha. Then they have rubo kikulo, meaning that the rov will dictate, but they all have to be present in order. They need a quorum in order to qualify for a proper hora'ah over here. Without the quorum, without the 71, it does not qualify. So I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Asarash yoshvim bedin, kolor toloi b'tzavar kulan. 10 people that sit down to a din, then no matter how the psak comes out, all 10 are responsible for what happens in the psak. Even if the psak is given by one, or if the psak is given out by Yerov, all of them are held responsible. Where it says pshita. Now, that we know. So now, hakamash malon, dafilu tamid bifnei rabo. So true, if all of them are involved in the hora'ah, and they're all balei hora'ah, of course they're responsible for the psak halacha. So what's the chiddush? The chiddush here is that even a talmid bifnei rabo, if he knows that it's wrong, if he needs to, he is responsible for what happens. If there's a mistake in psak given, and he was present, and he was a part of the decision process, or he was present for the decision process, he will be held partly responsible for it. So Ravuna, kiyava nofik the Beit Dinah, so we saw this in Sanhedrin. Ravuna, whenever he used to go to Beit Din, maiti asarat tanai de Beit Rav lekamei. He used to bring 10 students from the Beit Medrash of Rav along with him. Hechadinim tam shiva mikshura. Said he could take away some of the dust, sawdust, or the filings from the board. I mean that he was going to be the one responsible in the end for the psak halacha. He was going to take the big brunt of it. But if he brought others along, he would carry some of the burden. They would take away some of his burden by having other people with him. Obviously, I think also that they would ask questions on him and they would help him come to the right psak. But they also would carry some of the burden. So Ravashi, ki have a mighty treifta lekamei. When someone brought a treifa them, mighty asarat tabchei mimatamachsia. You bring in 10 butchers from the local, the local city, from matamachsia, motiv kamei, and make them sit there. So they could ask questions. Vayamarki, echad nimtim shiva mikshura. And they could carry some of the burden of the psak halacha he was going to give about this treifa. So this idea that there's a responsibility that devolves upon all those that are present and all those that are involved in the psak halacha. So therefore, we want the entire Beit Din HaGadol, first of all, to be there, so that they can, the psak will be given by the entire Beit Din, even though Ruba Kukulo, and also back before by Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan's statement, even though in the end we don't accept the fact that you need a unanimous decision that, oh, even if there's greater, 100 people there, nevertheless, we do see that there is a responsibility borne by those that are present. Even though the psak or the only people that matter are the Beit Din HaGadol, nevertheless, the Talmidim and the others that sit there, they also carry some of the responsibility of the psak halacha. All right, next Mishnah. Horu beitin v'yadush ta'u. Beitin gave a psak halacha, and then they realized that they made a mistake. V'chazru behen, and they retracted their psak. Ben sheviu kaparatan, ben shelovia kaparatan. They've yet to bring their par, or not bring the par. V'alach v'asal pien, and somebody acted on it. Somebody who didn't hear about the retraction of the psak went ahead and acted on that psak. Yet Beitin already knows they were mistaken in their psak. And here it says it's irrelevant whether they brought their kapara or not. Shimon puter, Rabbi Elazar Omer, it's a fake. So Rabbi Shimon says they're patur because they still relied on the psak of Beit Din. Elazar Omer, it's a fake. What do you mean? Ezel, it's a fake. What type of safek are we here? Yoshov lo bebeito, if he was at home, betoch beito chayav. Chayav here means chayav for a safek, which is an asham talui. Brings an asham talui because should he have known the information? Or now we know that he doesn't know the information. Which one is it? Halach lo medinat hayam patur. But if he goes overseas, it's clear he's patur, because the only reason he would act it was on the psak beitin. He would never have heard about the retraction. Or he shouldn't have known about the retraction. I agree with you in the case where he goes to Medinat Hayam that he's closer to being patur than he is to being chayav. What's the difference between if he's traveling overseas and he's in his house? The answer of Rabbi Givius is that in your house, even though you did not hear it, you had the ability to hear it. You had the possibility of hearing it because the information was available out there. But the person who's overseas has no choice. He can never know the information. There's no way. Even if he wants to know it, he can't know the information. So, if Beit Din gives a psak halacha to eliminate a mitzvah entirely, Amru, ein nidah b'torah, ein shabbat b'torah, ein avodat kochavim b'torah, they eliminate an entire mitzvah from the Torah, they're hari elo p'turim. Right? They are patur, because that's not classified as par halam davar shel tzibur. If their psak halacha was, yes, there's Shabbos, but this is mutar, or yes, there's nida, but this is mutar, or elu chayavin, ketzad, what's that kebe case like that? Amru, yesh nida b'torah, there is such a concept, there is a mitzvah of nida, someone who has relations with a woman who is shomeret yom k'negen yom, which is the nida min a Torah, has 7 days of tum'ah. After those 7 days, they have 11 days where she is talui. During those 11 days of Yimei Ziva, those 11 days, if she sees dam one day, she has to wait that day betara, and then the next day. If she sees 2 days, she also waits the third day betara, and she's okay. If she sees three, beritzuf, she becomes a zava gdola. Those are the 11 days of Yimei Ziva. The psak halach over here is that they basically eliminated the Yimei Ziva, that shomer yom k'neged yom, that you have to not sleep with the woman if she has a sighting during that period. So they say no, patur. They don't say there's no nida. They say yes, nida. But this aspect of nida is not true. Yesh Shabbat patura, aval motzim yishut yachid yishut erbim patur. There is a concept of Shabbos. There are isurim, there are malachot. But this malacha is not applicable of caring for yishut yachid yishut erbim. Yesh Shabbat kodachim barak aval mishtachaveh patur. There is such a concept of not worshipping avodah zarah, but if you bow down to it, that's not considered problematic. Ha'elu chayivim shenemar v'ne'elam davar. Davar v'lo kol aguf, or where we see other places, davar, right, v'lo kol davar. That has to be a portion that is forgotten here, but not the entirety that is forgotten over here. So I'm Yehuda Marav, my time with Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon say you're patur over here? So the Rabbi Shimon, ho'el u'b'shut peitin u'oseh. It's very simple. Rabbi Shimon says, the reason that he's acting over here is because he heard Beit Din give up psak halacha. He's acting based on the Beit Din. If you act on based on Beit Din, that's the basic principle here that you aren't patur. Because you listen to Beit Din, therefore you're indemnified, you're protected by the fact that Beit Din gave such a psak halacha. Igadam, right? I'm reviewed on Rav. Omer ayir Rabbi Shimon, kolha ra'ash yatz'ah berob tzibur, yachid oseh ota patur. Once the hora'ah is given by Beit Din, you can meet mitoleh atzmecha al that hora'ah, and anybody who does or acts based on that hora'ah will be patur. The fish lo nitna hora'ah l'abchin ben shogeg d'mezid. The simplest way to understand this is that the hora'ah is a determining factor. If someone relies on the hora'ah, then they are a shogeg. If they're not relying on the hora'ah, then they're a mezid. Or, as Rabbeinu Chananel puts it, if he already knows that the par was brought, if he knows the par is brought already, then he's a mezid, because he knows about the retraction, he's still acting based on the original psak of Beit Din. That person is classified as a mezid, he's no longer a shogeg. But this individual, delo yada, who has no information or doesn't know about the fact that the par is brought, he is classified as a shogeg. If he's a shogeg, then he's covered by the hora'ah Beit Din. That's the easiest way to read it. Rashi reads this in a somewhat problematic or difficult manner, especially considering the Gemara tomorrow's daf, where it seems pretty clear that that's not what we call a mezid. Nevertheless, I'll explain to you what Rashi says here. Rashi says almost the opposite, that shogeg and mezid are understood the opposite way here. Shogeg is someone who acts on their own, and they're a shogeg because they made a mistake. They made a mistake in judgment. On the other hand, mezid over here is someone who acts with reliance on Beit Din. They're acting with intent to do this action because they are relying on Beit Din. And therefore, this individual had no idea that the par was brought. He's a mezid. Mezid ma'aseh al pi horat beit din. That's patur.
On the other hand, an individual who knows about it, or someone who's acting out of their own volition, then he's a shogeg, and he has to take care of himself, because he's saying Omer Mutar. He's saying that, oh, this is fine to do, even though he knows that there's no smach or no Parat Beit Din to rely on, or he knows already that Beit Din retracted their statement. So you've seen this inside in Rashi, it's the top left column in Rashi. He says that, the one who does b'shut Beit Din is the mezid. He doesn't know that did shechazru, that they retracted it. And he acted with intent based on their psak halacha, but not on his own judgment or his own mistake. And someone who relies on the hara of Beit Din is patur. So you see, Rashi over here calls the individual who follows the psak of Beit Din a mezid, whereas the person who acts on their own and not with the psak of Beit Din, he's acting as a shogeg. Tomorrow's daf, it seems just the opposite from the Mishnah. We'll see tomorrow that mezid is only someone who acts without the horat Beit Din. That the one who goes with the horat Beit Din is called the shogeg, and he is covered by the horat Beit Din. Meitve. Parelam davar shel tzibur v'sirei obedat chovim b'tchila govin alehen divir Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda Omer mitzvat lishkayim bayin. How do we fund the parelam davar shel tzibur? So Rabbi Shimon says we fund it, we make a new collection. There's a you assess a tax on all Bnei Yisrael, and they pay for it, and that's how we collect the money for the parakalam davar shel tzibur. B'yudo merim mitzumat alishka. You go into tzumat alishka, there's leftovers in the tzumat alishka, you bring from the tzumat alishka, the tzibur already gave money. Take from the money that's already given by the tzibur. So now, if that's the case, what's the position of Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says they start collecting again. If they start collecting again, how is it ever possible that the person did not know about the fact that Beit Din retracted their statement? They go collect from every Jew. He's a Jew. They collected from him for a parallel davar shel tzibur. So he says, "Amai keva de legavilu avilei hoda." If they're collecting from him, he's going to know that they retracted the statement. So ibai de mekosha gabustam. They just went around collecting and saying for Beit Din, explain what it was. Or the other possibility, ibai mekolon de lo avilei bemato. He wasn't in the city when they collected. He was out of town. That he holds like the other brayta that we have, which is the Tanya Ipcha. We have a brayta that says the opposite. Tchila govin lan divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you make a new collection. You start a new collection process for it. Shimon Omer mitzumata lishka hein bayin. He says they come from the tzumata lishka. So if Rabbi Shimon says they come from tzumata lishka, there's no way this person will know. He doesn't have to know about the fact they're taking part of davar shel tzibur, the money from the lishka. They don't need his permission. They don't need him to know either. Right, they're doing it on behalf of the whole tzibur, and they take it from the tzumat alishka. On the other hand, if they have to collect from each individual, he's going to know about it. Tanei, Rabbi Meir mechayev, Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Lazar Meir Safek, Bishum Sumchos Amru Talui. So our mission enumerates two opinions about what the story is here, where the person is choteh after Beit Din was already chozer. So here the Braita brings down four positions. We have Rabbi Meir Michayev, which we don't have in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon's Poter, which is found in our Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar Omer Safek, which is found in our Mishnah. And then the last one, Mishum Sumchus Amru Taloi, which is not found in our Mishnah. So here, Rabbi Meir's Michayev and Sumchus Omer Taloi, those two are not found in our Mishnah. And along comes the Braita and says that you are, according to Rabbi Meir, Chayav, and according to Sumchus Taloi. So Rabbi Yochanan, Asham Taloi Ikeminau. The difference between Rabbi Lazar and Sumchus, B'shei Rabbi Lazar, is the case of Asham Talui. Do you bring an Asham Talui or not? So Amar Rabbi Zera, Mashal, the Rabbi Lazar, the man of Davar Dome. Rabbi Lazar, what's this like? L'adam shachal safek chilev safek shuman. Person had in front of him chilev and shuman, and he doesn't know which one he ate. He ate one of the pieces, he didn't know that it was either chilev or shuman. Shuman is mutar, chilev is asur. V'nodalo, at the point that he realizes it may be Asham Talui, because he just doesn't know if he ate chilev or if he ate shuman. V'lo mibai l'mandal mar tzibur maite demefar samilta. I don't, you don't have to tell me, even according to the one who says that the tzibur brings it, even according to the one who says Beit Din brings it, and that it was no way he could have known. If he asked the question, they would have told him. If he asked, he would have known. The fact they didn't ask now becomes his problem. So here you have a case where there is, for instance, Shuman and Chelev in front of him. He eats one of them. And that one, he's not sure if he ate the chiyuv, he ate the chilev, or if he ate the one that's patur, he ate the shuman. And that's of a safek, you bring in a sham taloi. And that's equivalent to the position of Rabbi Lazar that says that we have a safek here. We have a safek, and you bring in a sham taloi. On the other hand, sumchus, B'shem Rabbi Elazar, what does he say? What's the pattern here? Person brings his kapara, he's in the chusar kippurim, and according to Rashi, Tosfos brings it up here that the Torah made a case on Erev Pesach. He wants to be able to bring his korban Pesach and eat the korban Pesach, so he needs to do the korban that will make him tahor. But there's a rule in the Mikdash that you're not allowed to bring anything after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim Chutz Mi HaPesach, Korban Pesach. So here he's trying to bring Mechusar Kippurim after Zman of Karbanot. So it was a case where it was Ben HaShmashot, and so we're Safek if he did it while it was still daytime, or Safek Mechashecha, that it was already dark and it won't help him anymore. She'em Evi Hashem Taloi. That he doesn't have to bring a Hashem Taloi. V'lo mi ba'i l'manda amar beitim evin t'lo afarsim amilta. It's not even according to the one who says that Beitin brings the power. So therefore it wasn't widely known that they retracted their statement. Ela afilu l'manda amar tzibor mevin. Mevoy what says, t'mefarsim amilta v'avu yamrinan le. Right, we say this. T'avacha b'safek mi'ojom b'safek m'sheicha. Ishayo lo ashka chinesh t'mishaylev. In the case of Shuman and Chalev, where you can ask. You can find out. There's a way and an end to determine. Did he eat Shuman? Did he eat Chalev? We have the pieces. We'll find out what it was. Over here, when we're talking about, he brought the Korban, Ben HaShmashot, there's no way to ever know whether it was day or night. Nobody can tell us this. Rashi claims because it's Keheref Ayin. It's momentary. And therefore, nobody will know. But you could also argue that nobody knows. Ben HaShmashot doesn't have a determination. Doesn't have a determination. Nobody will ever know whether it's yes or no. So that's what Sumcho says. Sumcho says in the Breita, Amru Taloi. It depends. It's Taloi. We hang. We don't bring a Korban. You can't even bring an Hashem Taloi. Because over here, we don't know if there's even a Chiyuv here. We don't know if you ever reached a point where you were machnis yourself into a Chiyuv. The same way by the Korban. We just don't know whether you're at day or night. We have no clue what the answer is this, and we'll never know the answer to this. It's the same thing what Sumcho is saying over here. We just don't know. So in summary over here, Rabbi Elazar says, should just know that the Tosfot Rosh over here says that the Girsa and the Mishnah should be Rabbi Elazar because he's the Baal Plukta of Rabbi Shimon, although he does point out the problem that Rabbi Akiva speaks in this Mishnah, and if Rabbi Akiva is speaking in the Mishnah, then it should be Rabbi Eliezer and not Rabbi Elazar. So if that's the case, the Girsa really should be Rabbi Eliezer. But be that as it may, whichever the Girsa is, the position of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer is that b'safek you bring a Hashem Talui. An Hashem Talui is an indication of some culpability. We have a problem over here, and we want you to shoulder a part of the burden because you should have known better or should have done better. In the case of the Shuman and the Chelev, you should have checked it out. You should have asked. You should have been more careful. In our case over here, Rashi says that we have a safek whether you were tole be'atzmo or tole be'beitin. The Rambam and others say that the safek over here is whether you should have asked beitin all the time, meaning that we should have you or we demand of you to go and find out what was happening. The fact that you didn't, you will shoulder some culpability over here, and therefore you have to bring in Hashem Taloi. Even Rashi, who says that the safek is whether you're tole be'beitin or tole be'atzmo, that safek revolves around the fact that whether you should have asked. You should have known the information, so maybe you're not classified anymore as tole be'beitin. So because of that, you shoulder a certain amount of culpability over here, and you bring an Hashem Taloi to protect you. You're not going to bring a regular chatat, because you yourself were tole on be'beitin. You're not going to be covered by the korban be'beitin, because be'beitin already is done. They already, chazrubo, they already have recalled or retracted their statement. So you need some form of protection. We'll use the Hashem Taloi to protect you. On the other hand, Sumchus believes that you really don't have any culpability over here. It's not the equivalent of a case where you have Shuman and Chelev and you should have checked better and known better. It's the equivalent of the case where you brought it Ben HaShmashot. Ben HaShmashot, there is no determination. There is no way to know what the status of Ben HaShmashot is. There's no one to ask, and there's no way we'll ever know what that was. And since that's the case, also over here, we don't demand of you to ask. And if you would ask, maybe the people wouldn't have known. Maybe you wouldn't have found out the information. So you don't shoulder any culpability over here because there wasn't anything to demand of you. And the fact that you relied on Beitin makes you patur. That's your psak. You don't need any more protection. You relied on Beitin, therefore you are patur. So that's a summary of the difference in the positions between Rabbi Elazar and Sumchus. Okay, we'll stop over here.